And he'd say, you know, while you're down here, I need you to go here. And he'd give me directions and tell me about the guys and tell me what was going on and so on. And so, and I'd say, did you follow up on this? Did you check on that? And so at night when we had dinner, we'd talk about these counts and so on and so forth. And then the next day, I'd go this way, he'd go that way, and we'd work with customers. And then, you know, we might meet again for dinner or whatever. So we had a relationship that was, I think, absolutely perfect for business. Because Terry and I, we met together in this little corner over here. Sometimes we would go to the customer together. So that's this little area in here where I'd be in there representing the manufacturer in the customer's facility, and Terry would be in there too. So we would go into the account together. Terry might introduce me to people because he lived in San Diego and he knew the customers better. So down in San Diego, we had this really good deal going on because we worked together in the accounts, we worked separately, and then he would spend a lot of time in a customer's place by himself, and I would spend time in a customer's place by himself. And this is the best kind of a situation you can have. So if you're on the phone and you're talking with prospective customers that are not being served properly and are complaining or something like that, maybe there's an opportunity to find somebody in the marketplace that could support you, and you pay them a little something to do that. And it never makes any sense. Like, let's say, for example, if you're down in the Detroit area and you got some sales opportunity in the UP, to be driving up to the UP, that's insanity. I mean, unless there's like somebody with 50,000 employees up in the UP, the only way to handle that business is on the telephone or finding somebody up in the UP that could represent you and have them come down to your facility and get training and all that kind of stuff and be able to handle you. So that's the kind of business relationships that exist out there in the marketplace. And so now you have a little understanding of that. Now, the next thing here has to do with cash flow. This is a term that is extremely important to understand, just because often customers will get themselves into cash flow issues, particularly people that make plastic injection molded parts or any of that kind of stuff, just because they get more business than they can handle, and they don't get paid for the business until they actually deliver it. So they load up on inventory, you know, to make the parts and so on, and they have cash flow issues. So I want to just help you understand what cash flow is all about. Let's just say John Mitchell retires from GE and has $40,000 in cash. And John Mitchell goes out and buys a machine, a $30,000 machine. So you would look at my balance sheet, and here's how it would look. Assets and liabilities, they have to equal on a balance sheet. So if I had $40,000 in total and I bought a $30,000 machine, I got cash of $10,000 left over, equipment of $30,000, and I've got $40,000. And my stock equity in a company is $40,000. So the liabilities equal the assets. Now, Susan calls me up and she says, John, would you make $1,000 of these little widgets? And I say, oh, Susan, thank you so much for that order. So then I call up Garrett and I say, geez, I got to make this these widgets for Susan over there. And he says, okay, John, you need to have this, this, and this, and this. Put it on your machine, and that's how you'll make this stuff for Susan. Okay. So once I buy all the stuff that Garrett tells me I need to put on my machine to make the stuff for Susan, my balance sheet changes. Now, I bought $8,000 worth of tooling. This is what Garrett said I needed. $8,000 worth of tooling to go on my machine to make these things for Susan. So now, since I bought $8,000 worth of tooling, I owe $8,000 to Melissa because she sold me the tooling that Garrett recommended. So now there's my balance sheet. Now Susan calls me up and says, hey, John, hold off on that. Hold off. Don't do anything on those widgets. Hold off. They got some union problems in the factory. They're not going to need them, so hold off. So now I think you can get a sense of what's going to happen. Melissa starts calling me up. She wants to get paid for $8,000 worth of tooling. I've only got $10,000 in cash. I don't know when Susan's going to give me an order and let me go ahead and make these things so I can bill her, and then I don't know when she's going to pay me, you know? So that's when you, that's a cash flow issue right here in the happening. I pay this $8,000 for that, and now Kathy calls me up and wants me to make a bunch of widgets for her. You can see how this happens. Now I buy more tooling, you know, and then, you know, and then, you know, so this kind of a thing, and that's what they call a cash flow issue. Companies that have big parents, not such a big deal, because if they get in a cash flow, they can call up their corporate and they can say, hey, give me money. Companies usually have lines of credits. Lines of credit. I'm sure you guys have a line of credit. When you make a machine, you go and hit the line of credit and get a bunch of cash so you can go out and buy whatever you need. And then you pay for it. You cover your line of credit with the payment for the selling of the machine. And that's a cash flow crunch that a lot of companies are in. So